Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089.
Hope changes everything. It's knowing that God is good and expecting that He will reveal that goodness in our lives.
Stop letting the disappointments of your past dictate your future. Get your hopes up and see what God can do.
Get Your Hopes Up, a new book from Joyce Meyer that'll help you discover true hope in Christ, a hope that will lift your faith and change your life for good. Get Your Hopes Up. Pick up a copy to lift someone's spirit or lift your own. Now available from Joyce Meyer.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
With all my heart. With me to the book of Exodus, chapter 5. Exodus, chapter 5. Today, we begin a series I've entitled Transformation. The Word of God declares that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, and that by the renewing of our mind, our soul must prosper. And when we talk about soul, we want to distinguish our spirit from our soul, from our body. We are a triune being, and our soul has to do with our mind, our will, our emotions, our affections, our reasonings, our intellect, all that stuff in your head, okay, your soul. So we want to be renewed. If we want to move from around the mountain that we are so familiar with, we have to capture a thought that is different from how we have been thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay, so there's where change has to come. In our spirit, we have an ability to express God fully. Our spirit is part of God. We've been born again of the Holy Spirit. So he's not the problem or the issue. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But oftentimes our soul has attached itself to the familiar and is comfortable with the familiar. But I want to tell you that the Lord is going to lead you in a way that you've never been before, in the spirit, unfamiliar territory. So there are certain things we must understand and embrace if we're going to move forward. Amen. Tell somebody, I'm ready to move forward. The series is entitled Transformations, but I want to talk today about breaking bondages. Breaking bondages. Sometimes there are bondages in our lives that we don't even know exist, but they are bondages. They are thought patterns that have held us back, that have, you know, held us captive. And it's not that it's evil or sinful, it's just held you back from becoming who you are really to be as far as your destiny. But it's usually this fellow right here. How we are thinking, the manner in which we are going about life, amen, can be very limiting, very confining. I don't mean that we are lawless or that we don't have constraints, because there are biblical constraints. And as I said before, when God was speaking to Adam, he said to Adam, have not I commanded you that you may eat of all the trees of the garden freely? That word free, that true freedom came, or it stemmed from a command. So see, freedom is not being where nobody can tell you nothing. Child, I'm grown. No, you headed down a path of destruction. Amen. It's not being out from under command. How many know the kingdom of God is organized? It's not confusion. It's not, you know, that freedom is not, you know, just everybody doing whatever they want to do. Everybody having a law unto themselves. That is not freedom. That's chaos. But true freedom comes from a command. As a matter of fact, even your love, people talk about love, but true love, biblical love, is not the sloppy stuff that people want when they're wrong or when they do wrong. You know, they expect, well, love. No, true love, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't like that, see, they think that's legalistic. No, Jesus said, if you truly love me, keep my commandments. That's where true love, that's where true love comes through. It comes through obedience. Otherwise, it's just a superficial type of love that turns on and off, will become angry, that correction, will, you know, will have attitude, you know, that type of love. But the true love of God is different. It's not a lot of fluff, you know. It's not like mama loves you, if I can say it that way. How many understand? Okay, it's a love that's wrought or manifested in obedience. If you love me, then keep my commandments. Let me start with this. We're talking about breaking bondage. The scripture is full with prophetic types. You have Joseph, you have Abraham. These are types. You know, the Old Testament and even the New, but the Old Testament especially, many types. In other words, Israel coming out of bondage, the Word of God tells us in Corinthians that they were an example for us. Amen? In other words, how God dealt with them, mistakes that they made, stuff that they did, both good and evil, God says, take note of it. It's an example. Let me show you. Let me show you that to you. Give me, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before we go to, stay in Exodus 5, but 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10 and verse 11. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church about the example of Israel coming through the wilderness. Now Paul is speaking to a New Testament church, but he's talking about the church that God brought out of Egypt and was in the wilderness. And he said in verse 11, he says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. Now your Bible might read in sample, but it's examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that think he stand take heed, lest he fall. Okay? So Paul is saying, this stuff that you're reading in the Old Testament, even though we're not under that law, you know, God, you know, doesn't have us going in and killing people and stuff like that naturally, but these things were written for an example. God says, I want you to learn from these things on how I deal with my people. When they were disobedient, things happened. It wasn't that God did it. They were disobedient. They put themselves in a place where the devil could come in and do certain things. When they were obedient, you know, heaven gave its rain. They were prosperous. They were blessed. But these things were written for our examples. Go back to Exodus chapter 5. Now, let me start with first, Jesus made a statement. He said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days or the day of the coming of the Son of Man. That's significant. As it were in the days of Noah. So what is he saying? Go back and look at the account of Noah's time, and you can find certain things that happened back then that will be prevalent in the time of the coming of the Lord. Okay? I want to bring something out here concerning that, as it were in the days of Noah. In chapter 7, don't turn there, write it down if you're taking notes. In chapter 7 of Genesis, before the Lord sent rain from heaven, something happened in the earth. Now, if you study these types through scripture, you'll find oftentimes, now God initiates things first, but after he initiates it, something has to happen in the earth to get heaven to respond. You know, many times people are wanting God to intervene in their situation, but you haven't prayed and believed. But you want God to do something. But the moment you really pray and believe, guess what? Intervention. So see, something happened on the earth that caused heaven to respond. Well, in Genesis 7, the first thing that happened when God was about to destroy all flesh, the fountains of the deep. Now notice something, it had never rained on the earth. There were no floods and stuff like that. There were seas and things like that, but it hadn't rained. It was a mist that came up and watered the garden. But the first thing that happened was the fountain of the deep were broken up. The fountains of the deep. How many saw that movie Noah? Special effects. When the fountains of the deep broke up, it wasn't just one fountain. Fountains came up everywhere. And water started coming up out of the ground. The fountain of the... In other words, something in the earth starts and then heaven responds. When the fountain of the deep was broken up and the water started coming up out of the earth, then it started to rain from heaven. So it's almost a type. It's almost a type of procession that we can, you know, when you really start to seek God, he says, if you seek first the kingdom. See, even though God has done already, he's already blessed you and everything, some things haven't manifest, but when you start to seek, all of a sudden things start to align themselves. When you start to pray and believe, things start to align themselves. So much starts with us once we are saved and once we've been taught and once we know, you know, some of the ways of God, many things are initiated with you. Okay. So in Genesis 7, we see the fountain of the deep were broken up and then the windows of heaven were opened and rain began to come. Now the water level rose to cover the earth. Okay. The water rose when God was about to shift everything and preserve, let me say, his church, the ark, and take them into a new dimension and move them out of what he was destroying. The first thing that he did, he allowed the water level to rise. Okay? Tell somebody the water level must rise. When the water level rose, the first thing that was destroyed on the earth was flesh, the flesh of men. You know, those that didn't believe concerning the ark, didn't think it was going to ever rain, didn't know what rain was. They were unbelievers. They were ungodly. They were wicked. Their imaginations were evil continually. These people, because they didn't believe when it started to rain, then they started to panic. That's why God told Noah, once you get into the ark, I'm going to close the door. That's what he said. See, God closed the door. It can't be open. Now, had Noah closed it, they might have got up in there with him. But God said, no, I'm going to close the door, Noah. So ain't nobody getting up in there. Nobody's getting up in there but the ones that I put in there. See, the ark is really a symbol of the church. But now what happened? The water level started to rise. And the first thing, you know, people probably climbed in the trees and climbed up on rocks and tried to get on high heels and all kind of things. But the water level kept rising till all flesh was drowned. But it didn't stop there. The water kept rising. Now think about it. The fountains of the deep are broken up. It's still coming up out of the earth and coming from heaven too. Then all the hills were covered. Hills represent something. Hills represent people in power. After the hills were covered, it says the high mountains were covered. All the trees were covered. All the high mountains represent authority, nations. All of those were covered. And then everything was so covered with water that the fowl of the air had nowhere to land. So the fowl were killed, all that weren't on the ark. So everything was destroyed. But now my point, I want you to see this, how God transitioned them and how he destroyed the old was through the water level rising. You see, sometimes people are trying to fight the devil. When really all you really need is for the Holy Spirit, the water level in your life to begin to rise.
Thank you for joining us as we begin a new series entitled Transformation Part 1, Breaking the Bondage. Oftentimes our soul has attached us to familiarity. There are certain things that we need to let go of. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Our thinking must change for many to be set free. True freedom stems from a command. Jesus said, "If you truly love me, keep my Father's commandments." The kingdom of God is organized. 1 Corinthians 14:40 declares, "Let all things be done decently and in order." God is a God of order and obedience. When he speaks, God expects his children to obey and to follow his commands. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection,